brave. It can hear a new and it can make them behave. And when we pray, we can only proclaim.
We're singing my name, my name, my name.
I'm saying that your name is holy.
Greetings, greetings again, my dear and wonderful and beautiful sisters and brothers of the human family. My dear and wonderful and beautiful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. And today's recording date is Sunday, August the 21st, 2011. And we are yet dealing with current affairs. And I wanted to deal with one more current affair before I move on to the book of Revelation. And that would be unions to boycott Democratic convention in Charlotte. I believe that's North Carolina. More than a dozen trade unions tied to the AFL-CIO have announced a boycott of next year's Democratic National Convention in Charlotte. In a statement, the unions, representing some 2.5 million workers in building and construction, say they will skip the convention in protest of labor policies in the gathering's host state of North Carolina and also of Democrats' record on the economy. Labor leader Mark Ayers wrote, "We find it troubling that the party so closely associated with basic human rights would choose a state with the lowest unionization rate in the country." Sisters and brothers, this is the mind of Christ. This is a manifestation of the second coming of Christ in this time, because those sisters and brothers in the union connected with the AFL-CIO see exactly what is going on. They see that this Democratic Party is supposed to stand for the people, supposed to stand for the workers, supposed to stand for the common man and common woman. These unions connected to the AFL-CIO see that the Democratic Party have shirked on their duty, have become derelict in their duty in upholding the rights of the common people, and have seen fit to host their convention or hold their convention in North Carolina, a state whose leadership is working to destroy workers destroy the middle class, destroy poor people. So the AFL-CIO says we're going to boycott your convention, Democratic Party. And hopefully the unions, I'm a part of the UAW, United Auto Workers, Auto and Aeronautics, I believe it is. Hopefully the unions, and I want to start calling, I think it's Bob King is the chairperson of my union. The union leadership, all the union leadership must come together and withhold their monies from supporting the Democratic Party, and in this case, the Obama administration. All of the union leadership must come together, put out a revolutionary platform, an equal rights and justice platform, a poor people's platform, a working people's platform. Top on the list, no support for warfare and bloodshed, because that helps workers overseas and in foreign lands and nations and territories. No longer support warfare and bloodshed, and we will demonstrate and oppose warfare and bloodshed, and then domestically. Unionize all workers. Work to push legislation that says all workers will make a living wage. All citizens will have access to home and a living wage job and access to education and health care and all that a human being needs. Put a platform on that level, pushing human rights, and then say to the Republican Party, Democratic Party, Green Party, or whatever party, if you support this platform of justice for the oppressed, foreign and domestic, then we will put our union monies behind you. If not, we withhold our monies. Bob King, chairperson of the United Auto and Aero Workers, Aerospace Workers, I believe it is, no longer tell Obama that we are in Obama's hip pocket. Stand up and tell Obama we will only support you if you support and deliver and work to deliver the oppressed. Withhold your monies, Bob King. Withhold the monies of the UAW. And come together with other union leadership and boycott until these parties say they will support true justice and human rights. Let's move to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. Verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Sisters and brothers, this book of Revelation, written by the African revolutionary apostle John to the seven churches in Asia. Seven aspects of the black man and woman. Seven aspects of the black church. Seven characteristics of the black preacher. We have been going through these characteristics very slowly. And not only ourselves, but characteristics and attributes of the church itself and all believers in the Most High, no matter what your religious affiliation or denomination. And the Spirit of the Lord is talking to us. Mama Holy Spirit is telling us to stand up for revolution. Stand up and deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed using the Word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. The sword in the Old Testament, used by the children of Israel, the African Hebrew Israelite nation, is only symbolic of the tongue, which is shaped like a two-edged sword. And the Word of God in that tongue, that Word of God, which created and gave birth to the whole of the universe, is that power in our tongue, in our mouths, which causes us to organize and fight the oppressor and deliver the oppressed from the oppressor, using the Word of God as that power and force to organize, that we may stand up for such endeavor, such as delivering the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. He that overcometh, or the human being, he or she that overcometh, overcome what? Overcome the second death. What is this second death? The death of a wicked, no good, rotten system. The death of this Babylon system. Yeah, we preach only death for this wicked system. We preach life to the oppressed. But death to this wicked system that causes death. We preach the manifestation of the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now, on this earth. We preach New Jerusalem. We preach the bride of Christ. We preach death to this wicked system of oppression. Death to slavery. Death to exploitation. Death to colonialism. And we preach death to the power of the synagogue of Satan. This is the second death. Because the whole of the Bible and Quran and Bhagavad Gita, whatever religious book you read, is concerning the deliverance of the oppressed, the destruction and death of the power of the oppressor, and death to a wicked system. This word death, found under the number 2288 on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, the word is thanatos, death of a body. And the body that we're preaching death to is the synagogue of Satan. Separation of the soul from the body. So, the soul is a word that has to do with animation, or that which gives life. The body that we're speaking of at this point is a wicked system constructed by the synagogue of Satan. So this death and separation of the soul from the body, death and separation of that which animates and gives life to this wicked body of the synagogue of Satan, we're preaching death to that. No more of that on this earth. This system is done, it's ended, and we'll find misery in hell. Hell to this wicked system of oppression of the people. Death to this wicked system. I don't say death to the oppressor. My Rasta people say death to black and white oppressor, downpressor. I would, and I'm sure Rasta as well, would that those that are the oppressors would leave oppression and join us in life. But we join Rasta in saying death to this wicked system. And we do not want those black or white or whatever color that are the oppressor to be successful in continuing the oppression of the people. Death to such wicked system. Let me read the commentary in the Living Bible translation and what they say about the book of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, believers and unbelievers alike experience physical death. All people will be resurrected, but believers will be resurrected to eternal life with God, while unbelievers will be resurrected to be punished with a second death and eternal separation from God. We're going to put this in proper perspective again. This Living Bible translation leaves it as a religious question. It is not a religious question per se, but it is a question of oppressor and the oppressed. Jesus Christ comes back within our person to save the oppressed and to punish the oppressor. So we preach warning to the oppressor. We preach in such a way that the oppressor, if the oppressor so desires, will leave from oppressing the people and join the oppressed. Remember Jesus talking to the rich person, rich man, say, sell all you have to the poor. In other words, join the poor in the fight to deliver the oppressed from the oppressor. So we say that it's not a religious question per se, but it is a question of the oppressor and the oppressed. And Christ is here to deliver the oppressed from the death of this system of oppression. This system is dead already, and it is on its way out. Moving on to chapter verse 12 of chapter 2 in the book of Revelation. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. So the angel, and that word angel, found under the number 32 on the Hebrew side of your strong, on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, angelos, number 32, masculine noun, a messenger, envoy, one who is sent, an angel, a messenger from God. And so we're talking to the pastors, we're talking to the black preacher, we're talking to the black pastors, but any pastor and preacher by extension. You are the angel. We're talking to the angel of Pergamos now. Let me see that word again. The angel, verse 12, chapter 2, Revelation, Pergamos. So, the pastor is the angel. The pastor is the pole star. Remember what we said about pole stars. The pastor is that light that shines, because the pastor is supposed to be connected to the light, which is Christ Yahshua, coming like the S-U-N. But the real power is Amen, Amenet, the hidden and unseen Father and Mother Yahweh that is behind Yahshua Christus, that is behind the pastor. The pastor is supposed to give that light from Christ, that light from Yahshua, that spirit to deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. So, to the angel of the church. Now that word church, 1577, on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, it is ecclesia, a gathering of citizens called out from their homes into some public place, an assembly. So we've been called out of our homes, but not only out of our homes, but we, the believer, whether you're a Muslim, a Hindu, a Buddhist, a Krishna, a Christian, a Jew, a Hebrew, we have been called out of not only our homes, but out of this wicked Babylon system. It's time to break down the religious barriers. We've been called out into a public place to assemble ourselves, that we may fight this wicked system together with the mentality of Christ, which is that spirit to deliver. And this word ecclesia is a feminine noun, because the believer, the church, the mosque, the temple, the cathedral, we are called to be a wife to Christ. Christ is giving us the word, which goes into our mind, mind, which is a womb, and we function as a womb, womb, so that we may give birth to sisters and brothers who will rise up as prophets, rise up as priests, rise up as spiritual people, rise up as Christs and Messiahs to fight this wicked Babylon system. We're to give birth to righteousness, give birth to revolutionaries, that we may fight this wicked system. The angel of the church in Pergamos. And Pergamos, 4010, on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, means height or elevation. This is a city in Mesia Minor, Asia Minor, the seat of the dynasties of Attalus and Eminus, famous for its temple of Aesculapius and the invention and manufacture of parchment. So this city, Pergamos, means height or elevation. And it's connected to a root word which means tower. Tower. So, these sisters and brothers who attended in times past this church called Pergamos were elevated so that they may fight Rome and fight Caesar and fight this wicked Babylon system. So, Apostle John is writing to Pergamos and writing to the angel or pastor of Pergamos to cause them to understand that they are elevated and equipped to fight this wicked system. And you, black preacher, you, black pastor, you, black church, look at your history in the United States of North America. In this Western Hemisphere, you have time and time again been elevated. Black people, we are the African Hebrew Israelite nation, and we have been elevated time and time again. Leaders have come through us time and again. Denmark Vesey, Gabriel Prosser, John Jacques Dessalines, Toussaint Louverture, Sojourner Truth, Harriet Tubman, Fannie Lou Hamer, Paul Robeson, Marcus Garvey, Noble Drew Ali, Elijah Muhammad, Minister Malcolm X, Medgar Evers, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Stokely Carmichael, what's my beautiful sister's name? Angela Davis, Kathleen Cleaver, Asada Shakur, Mumia Abu-Jamal. All of these Black Panthers and revolutionaries and Nation of Islam and United Negro Improvement Association, Morris Science Temple. Look at your black man and woman. Look at how you have been elevated time and again to stand up against this wicked Babylon system and work on behalf of the human family, on behalf of the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed, no matter their color, no matter where they are found on the planet. You have been elevated. You are Pergamos. You have been elevated to stand up against this Babylon system. To the angel of the church in Pergamos, write these things, saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. Write. To the word write is found under the number 1125, Gabo or Gafo. Write. Form letters. Express written characters. Commit to writing things that are not to be forgotten. Write it down. So Apostle John is writing, and all of us are to be living epistles. John is also showing us some of our characteristics and attributes. Write. Live a life that is written for righteousness. Black man and woman, white man and woman, brown man and woman, red man and woman, yellow man and woman, stand up, elevate yourself, elevate ourselves, become a strong tower for righteousness, and let us write, let us live a life that when it is examined as a written life or a life written, let it be not written in blood, but let it be written in life, that we stood up for the human family, that we stood up to deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. We're taking our last break, and I will see you on the other side of the break. Oh, Greetings, greetings, greetings again, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family. My dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, August the 21st, 2011. We are living epistles. Our lives are writing a story. And we must rise up and elevate ourselves. We are Pergamos, black man and woman, black church, black preacher. We have been elevated to stand up and fight this wicked Babylon system. Poor white man and woman, poor brown man and woman, poor red man and woman, poor people all over the earth. It is from you, from us, that we will see an elevation. We are they who Christ is coming in and through to elevate us and ourselves to status and to rank. We are they who will be given the crown of glory, given rank, even though those in power do not see that there is anything of value in us, being that we are not a part of the ruling class and ruling families of this wicked world order. We're not the Rothschilds. We're not the Oppenheimers. We're not a part of the Wall Street oligarchs nor the corporate plutocrats, but Christ is coming through us, and you see Christ manifesting all over the earth. Christ manifesting in Christians. Christ manifesting in Muslims. Christ manifesting in Hindu and Buddhist and Krishnas. Christ even manifesting in those who claim to be atheists. But when you examine the meaning of Christ, you cannot be an atheist, because when you say revolution and when you say deliver the oppressed, if you were speaking Greek, you would say Christ. If you were speaking Hebrew, you would say Mashiach. You would say Yeshua. So we are they who will be elevated and are being elevated, and we are writing a life. W-R-I-T-I-N-G. Our lives are writing a story of deliverance for the oppressed. Let me shift over to one of our Sunday school lessons. Empowering the needy. And this lesson is coming from Ruth, chapter 2. But let us see if we can go into some background and say some things about Ruth and Naomi, because this is a wonderful story about providing for the needy, providing for the oppressed. Now, the time of the judges, chapter 1, verse 1 of Ruth, and the whole of the books of the Bible are all books of revelation, giving us to understand current affairs and current events. Ruth, R-U-T-H. It came to pass. This is verse 1, chapter 1 of Ruth. And what does Ruth mean? Let me see. I've written it down. Ruth means a friend, a female associate. You know that Ruth became an ancestor of Jesus. And so Ruth means a friend. And friendship plays a very important role in this scripture. Sisters and brothers, no matter your religion, ethnicity, race, color, creed, national origin, make friendship with each other. Understand that it is we who are the oppressed, the working class and poor class. We must make friendship. Enough with this politics and philosophy of division given to us by the Rothschilds and Oppenheimers to cause us to be enemies of one another based on national origin, race, ethnicity, religion, denomination, and all the while we're fighting. The Rothschilds and Oppenheimers are able to keep control over our lives for another day, another year. So let us be Ruth. Let us be friends of one another. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. That word famine, 7458, on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. Ra'av, masculine noun. It means famine and hunger. Not just a famine of physical food, but also a famine of spiritual food. And so we see that this nation of the African Hebrew Israelite nation is going through a physical famine and a spiritual famine, because the African Hebrew Israelite nation were commissioned and missioned by the Most High to stand up for the oppressed, to stand up against the oppressor and fight the oppressor. That sword only represents the knowledge and wisdom of God, the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. But there came a time that the African Hebrew Israelite nation fell into the mentality of the oppressor, which is idolatry, which is covetousness, which is the system of theft of land, wealth, and resources through warfare and bloodshed. This is that time of famine. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Now, Bethlehem means the house of bread, found under the number 1035. Bethlehem, a proper locative noun. It means the house of bread or house of food. It was a city in Judah, and the word Judah, found under the number 3063, Judah or Yehuda or Yehuda, means praised. You see, the children of Israel, the African Hebrew Israelite nation, were to be a house, a nation of spiritual food and physical food for the oppressed. And when the African Hebrew Israelite nation were carrying out their function as revolutionaries for the oppressed in all of that region and fighting the oppressor and overthrowing the oppressor, they were to be praised for such action and such carrying out of the will of the Most High in the delivering and deliverance of the oppressed from the oppressor. But at this time, the African Hebrew Israelite nation had fallen. And so there was famine physically and spiritually in the land. So a certain man of this territory left Bethlehem, Judah, left the African Hebrew Israelite nation, and went to Moab, he and his wife. And what does Moab mean? Of his father. Of his father. And so this land of Moab, which means of his father, this is found under the number 4124 on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. You know, the scholars will say that the Moabites were treacherous and evil and whatnot. Well, it wasn't the masses of the people, but the rulers were treacherous. The rulers were evil, and they would point to the founding father of Moab and talk about the evil. But the real Most High Father is the Father, the Most High. And so the ruling class and families of Moab were not carrying out the will of the Most High Father and began to implement the system of warfare, bloodshed, colonialism. And the children of Israel leadership did the same. And so now you have people moving and traveling as immigrants to try to find a better life. And so this man, his wife, and his two sons, and the name of the man was Elimelech, 458 on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, proper masculine noun, Elimelech, or Elimelech. Elimelech means my God is king. And since that word is capital G, lowercase O-D, it looks to me my Elohim is king. Now, Elohim is male and female, gods and goddesses, children of the Most High, spirit world, angels, spirit human beings who are with the Most High. Focusing on the male aspect, my God is king, but my goddess is queen. So Elohim, kings and queens, children of the Most High, Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. 5281. Elimelech and Naomi, or Naomi. 5281. My delight. Is that what it means? My delight. Also pleasant, delight, suitableness, splendor. So that is the name, the meaning or definition of Naomi. So my God is King Elimelech. Naomi, delight and pleasure and splendor. They left the house of bread. They left Bethlehem, Judah. They left the African Hebrew Israelite nation because of this wicked system that causes famine and causes immigrants and immigration. And you know that this is occurring today. Sisters and brothers leaving their homes in Mexico, in Central and South America, in the Caribbean, in the Isles of the Pacific, in Africa, in the so-called Middle East, in Asia, people moving and migrating, even in the United States of North America, sisters and brothers leaving from the South, coming North, leaving the North and coming West, leaving the West and going East, leaving the East and going West, people, sisters and brothers traveling and moving all over the United States of North America so that people can try to find a better life, so that people can provide for their families. We're a world of immigrants moving and traveling, going to Europe, going to Asia, going to Africa, going to the Middle East, going to Central and South America, Mexico, going to Australia, New Zealand, going to Canada, moving into the United States, people traveling. Everybody is an immigrant of some type. I moved from one portion of California to another following my job. All of us are immigrants. All of this caused by the system. And so, wherever we find ourselves, we should be finding ourselves as friends of each other and helping each other. Talking to my beautiful wife today, she was pointing out how the way this thing is going, we're going to have to be friends of each other as oppressed and working people and poor people to make it in this transition from the synagogue of Satan into the full manifestation of the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now on this earth. The kingdom of Satan, the synagogue of Satan, is on its way out. And this is the time of the second coming of Christ, Yahshua, and the full manifestation of the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now on this earth. Now, Elimelech and Naomi had two sons, one named Mahlon, 4248 on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, a proper masculine noun. It means sick, S-I-C-K, sick. So this man Mahlon is a sickly individual, and that's what the system does, causes sickness, causes us to be weak and diseased and full of grief and have sores and pain and infirmities and to be sorry and to be in travail. These are all the definitions that go along with Mahlon. This system causing sickness in the human being, sickness spiritually, mentally, morally, and physically. And the other son, the second son, is Chilion, 3630. On Chilion, or Chilion, on the Hebrew side, 3630, it means pining. Now what the, okay, thank you. It means, in this case, wasting away, pining, wasting away. What else does it mean? Failing. Consumption, being consumed and wasting away and failing. That's what this word pining means. And so this man pining is wasting away, and Mahlon, he's sick. And so this wicked system causing us to be sick and waste away. And we are saying that this system is done and over, and this is the time of Christ, and this is the time that we will be able to eat and not waste away. This is the time that we will be prosperous, but we have to work and stand up and fight and deliver the oppressed and do away with this wicked system. Jah love, sisters and brothers. Jah bless. This is the Exodus, the movement of Jah people.